This is the Talking Tigers Podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others by staying current on all vaccines, including respiratory virus vaccines. Visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM to learn more. Here's the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, with this week's Talking Tigers Podcast.
Will Herring was a sophomore in 2004 on Auburn's SEC championship team. The former high school quarterback from Opelika had moved into a starting role in the secondary in a group of veterans on defense. Playing alongside Carlos Rogers, Junior Rosegreen, and Travis Williams, Herring was part of a unit that led the SEC in scoring defense, just over 11 points per game. He is now entering his second season as one of our sideline reporters on the Auburn Sports Network. Will Herring is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health. We continue our series looking back 20 years to the 2004 SEC Championship Auburn football team, and we go to the defensive side of the ball. He was a defensive back, ended as a linebacker at Auburn, and now one of our sideline reporters for the Auburn Sports Network, Will Herring.
Andy, hey buddy, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Can you believe it's 20 years since that 04 team that won an SEC championship and went undefeated?
No, sir, I can't. I celebrated my 20-year high school reunion a few years ago, and now here we are 20 years removed from 2004. I keep waiting to mature between the years. I do look in the mirror, and I'm like, yeah, it's been 20 years, but time flies when you're having fun.
Talking with Jason, of course, that was his final year at Auburn, SEC Player of the Year, final year for Ronnie, final year for Caddy. You were one of the young guys, though. How important was that 2004 team, that 2004 season for Will Herring?
It was very important. I got to show up to work and grind and grow alongside guys like Carlos and like Rosegreen, like Travis Williams and AT, TJ Jackson, my Opelika boy. It was everything for me. I look back at my freshman year and due to circumstances and an injury and an opportunity, the window opened and I stepped into it and did my best to take advantage of it. But that sophomore season for me was huge in my development. And just so thankful for the coaches that gave me the opportunity, but also the players, the leaders in the locker room, we call them coaches on the field, that gathered, that put their arm around a young guy just coming in and not having really played a whole lot and proven himself, but letting me step onto the field with 10 other guys and contribute. It was an honor.
You've told me before, there was a time when you came to Auburn that you really didn't know what was going to become of your career. You wanted to play football for Auburn, but you really didn't know how that was going to happen. And then by that freshman year, you get that opportunity. But boy, by that sophomore year, now you're one of the guys on a team full of veterans,
right?
Especially on the defensive side of the football.
Right. I just remember going into my redshirt freshman year when we were preseason number one, and I was like, man, I just felt buried in the depth chart. Like you said, honestly didn't know if I belonged, and then coming out the gate and losing two games, and you go from the talk of the country to mm-hmm. not even on anybody's radar. And that season, a lot of adversity. We went through a lot of adversity, but going into the my sophomore year after, especially the Coach Tubbs almost getting let go and the way that the locker room unified, it was an off season that was full of adversity. There was some change, and going into that season, we didn't know what to expect. We honestly, I don't know how confident we were going into the season. Looking back, I just think about the first few games, and it really wasn't until about week five or week six, in my mind, whatever week we played Tennessee in Knoxville was mm-hmm. when we realized, hey, we have something special here.
Look back at the end of that 03 season. As you mentioned, great expectations going in, lose at home to USC, lose on the road at Georgia Tech. Then you guys run off a pretty good run in the middle of the season, lose to Georgia, beat Alabama in an incredible week that was filled with, as you mentioned, a great deal of adversity, and mm-hmm. we don't know what's going to happen with Tommy Tuberville as the head coach. And
yeah.
Caddy goes 80 yards on the first play from scrimmage, and you guys beat Alabama, and then go on and win the bowl game as well. So you guys take some momentum into 04. But as you mentioned, nobody's talking about Auburn going into the 04 season. That offseason, from the bowl game at the end of 03 to the start of that 04 season, what comes to mind for you?
Coach Yachts, those gray Russell Athletic sweatsuits that didn't look very sexy. I mean, they didn't have your name. They didn't have an AU.
It wasn't fashionable.
Yes. You know, one of your pieces of art over here says, I believe in work, hard work.
Yeah.
And that's what we broke it down every at the end of every workout was work, hard work. Yachts, he was so vital in the success of that 2004, but really just that era of teams and those stingy defenses, but the toughness that it took to get through a February in Coach Yachts's off season, it took a lot. And those bubble workouts, what we called them, where they had trash cans at every station for guys to throw up in and, and who got sick, who lost their dinner from the night before. It was too early to have breakfast. You didn't have breakfast before you came, but that's what comes to mind is putting in the work starting in January right after bowl. You might have a week or two off, but that work from then until spring training. And then it's a month of ball. And then after that, now it's hot. But now you're going to really find out who wants it in that July heat. And like I said, going into the season, we'd put in a lot of hard work the year before, and it didn't turn out how we wanted it to.
Right.
So there's no guarantees that even if you work hard, you're going to be successful. But I'll guarantee if you don't put in the work, you can just about guarantee you're not going to be successful.
Did you have an idea going into your sophomore year that there was a starting spot for you at that point?
I felt like it was mine to lose. Okay. Yeah. I believed in myself at that point. I didn't know that I was going to go on to play at the next level beyond college at that level or at that point in my career. But yes, I did, Andy. I believed in my ability. I believed in my ability to play within a really well-coached team in Coach Chizik, to use my God-given brain and to play alongside guys like Rose Green and Carlos. And we had a couple guys rotating, David Irons, Monte Pitts, Kevin Hobbs at the other corner. And in a lot of ways, I was, after starting 9 or 10 games my freshman year, now they're leaning to me to like get some of these guys lined up in the secondary. And so I did. I felt like I belonged.
You guys opened the year against Louisiana Monroe, win 31-0. When I talked with Jason, he and I talked about the importance of that Mississippi State game, because that was the first conference game, your first road game. And we all know how physical Mississippi State can be, and especially in Starkville.
Mm-hmm.
You guys win that game 43-14. I mean, that was everyone going into that thought, man, this is going to be a slugfest. Turned out it really wasn't. I mean, Auburn dominated that game on both sides of the football. What do you remember about that Mississippi State game? Because that game is not talked about a whole lot.
Yeah.
In a season of great football games, that State game is, it's kind of in the background, so to speak.
You know, looking back 20 years, 2 years later, I played there as a senior, and the two games kind of blend together, if I'm being quite frank, quite honest. I just remember going down there and just how hot it seemed to be. Every time we played down there, it seemed like it was an 11 o'clock or a midday game. That 2004, honestly, that season, like, I don't remember much until the game in Knoxville. But just hearing you talk about it, that's uncharacteristic of an Auburn team back then, putting up 40-something points in Starkville against traditionally a really good defensive program.
Surely you remember the next week, though. LSU here.
Oh, yeah.
10-9. Jason said it's the most physical football game he ever played in at any level.
Yeah.
I mean, there are tons, including yourself, of NFL guys on that field together on both sides from both sidelines.
Yeah.
From a defensive back standpoint, your memories of Auburn LSU 2004.
My memories are as much leading up to the game as during the game. That was the hurricane week,
right?
Where it's like campus cleared out, everybody hunkered in for this hurricane. We went to the hotel conference center, and we basically practiced in conference rooms. We did walkthroughs for several days prior to this game. and the storm cleared out just in time for it to be a hot, muggy football game. But that was an incredible game, a defensive football game, where we felt like if we let them score two touchdowns, they might win it, because they had a daggum good defense too.
Mm-hmm. That's Nick Saban and Will Muschamp on the same sideline at that point. And the defending national champs.
Yep. That's right. No, it was just one of those physical games. And they had a well-balanced offense. They had a strong running game and a passing attack.
Yeah.
I feel like we handled the adversity that week leading up to the game. There were a lot of distractions. I mean, from a coaching standpoint, what a nightmare for your kids to be uprooted from their normal routine. You can't get on the field. You can't get in the bubble. You're hunkered into a room five times, you know, a little bit bigger than this tiny room we're in.
Right.
And you're trying to, like, emulate a football game against a world-class program like LSU. Tremendous challenges. And I feel like we took them as a team head on, and I feel like we handled them well.
There are so many individual plays in that game. I think for the most part, folks think offense, and they think that last drive, the fourth down pass that Jason makes, and then the touchdown pass, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Folks may remember the Brett Edens sack in that ball game, and they remember Junior Rosegreen's pick that seals the deal.
Yeah.
Is there a play defensively that comes to your mind?
There was a long run down the sideline. It was about a 40-yard run. They broke, and I ended up getting over there and using the sideline kind of as that 12th defender.
Right.
And I remember the guy giving me a stiff arm, and, I mean, he about broke my neck. But, I mean, it made me so mad. But, I got him by the shoulder pads, and I tried to break something else on him as I'm tackling him. Yeah. But personally, that's a play that I do remember.
Yeah.
That was just middle of the game. It was one of those runs. They squirted up the sideline, and I think I had rolled to the center field safety position, and just, you know, is one of those plays as a safety. Like, that was one of the things I loved about linebacker. A few years later, at linebacker, you take a shot. If you miss, you don't wind up on SportsCenter. But if you're a safety and you're the last line of defense, like right. I was on this play, you know, you want to be a little more cautious and getting the man down and not going for the big hit.
You're still 2 years away from moving to linebacker at this point.
Yes, sir. Right. 2 years away.
All right. You get the Citadel here, win 33-3, and then comes the Tennessee game. And if Auburn didn't break onto the national scene by beating LSU on CBS, you're on the national stage on ESPN on a Saturday night in Knoxville. It's a top 10 matchup, although everybody other than Charles Barkley is picking UT to win that game in Knoxville. Do you remember that day? Because that's a night game. You guys were in the hotel a long time and probably watch game day, and everybody's picking Tennessee to win it other than Sir Charles that day.
I remember two things. Coach Chizik, as he addressed our defense, I feel like it was in the auditorium here, so it wouldn't have been up there. So it would have been like during the week. I just remember Coach Chiz just having this aura of peace and confidence. Like, guys, Tennessee doesn't want to play us right now. I'm just telling you. You know, there's times where coaches have to keep their pull the reins back. You don't want your team to be overconfident. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want your team to become arrogant. But right now, I felt like he needed us to know that, like, hey, I believe in y'all. I believe in the preparation. I believe in the men in this room, and they don't want to see us right now. Not on defense, and they don't want to see our offense either. We were clicking at this point. And I remember him saying, like, guys, this is the number seven team in the country, and they do not want to play you. And we're going to their house, and they don't want to play you. They don't want to see what we're made of. I can promise you that. And then my other major memory leading up to the game was just in the locker room before the game. We went out, warmed up, just like we always do. We came in. I'll never forget Rosegreen smuggled in black tape into his backpack and started handing it out to guys to just tape up their wrists, tape up their ankles, and it's called spatting when you tape the cleats to your ankles. And I just remember, like, Tubbs being like, guys, y'all want to wear black? Wear black. Like he had given us the green light. And it was so funny to watch just the energy in the locker room from something so small. Yeah, we believed in each other, and yeah, we were there to play that night. We had shown up. But I just remember this level of energy and belief in one another as we locked arms to walk out of the tunnel.
May have been first time, too.
I think it was. I think Brother Chet had given a sermon the previous night about the Roman soldiers and how they would lock arms going into battle.
Right.
And I remember standing in that tunnel. Of course, I'm a little sophomore, so I'm nowhere near the front. I'm 4 or 5 or 6 rows deep in the tunnel at Neyland Stadium. And I remember all these Tennessee fans looking over. And usually you got like fans hollering, screaming, throwing stuff. I mean, I felt they were oblivious to the guys in the tunnel. It didn't matter. There was 107,000 of them out there when we took the field, and it just didn't matter. We knew we were going to win that game, and Coach Tubbs saw the same thing when he went to address the team prior to us taking the field. He said, "Guys, I have nothing to say. You guys are ready to play." That's basically what he said, with a big smile on his face. And I cannot wait to watch you.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's a great day to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccination during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It is crucial that we take the steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are up to date on all recommended vaccines, including respiratory virus vaccines. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
107,828,
okay,
to be exact. A lot of those folks were gone by halftime.
Yeah.
Ronnie runs over defensive back, knocks his helmet off, scores that first touchdown.
Yep.
The rout is on.
Yeah.
I think we think about that game from an offensive standpoint, just how dominant that offense was.
Mm-hmm.
You guys win 34-10. That defense was pretty sporty.
Yeah.
That day as well. When did you have an idea? Besides walking out there, linked arms, and Coach Tubbs' non-pregame talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When do you have an idea in that game?
You know, Andy's football is such a collective sport. I saw flashes of a great defense the year before. When the offense sputtered, you know, right, we weren't pointing fingers, but by golly, we had a good defense. The best defense is an offense that controls the ball, runs the ball, controls the clock, doesn't turn the ball over. And when they came along in 2004, like everything that I thought we had, we did. We had and more. I mean, I think about Travis Williams and the leader he was. He was a junior this 2004 year. He wasn't a senior, but He was our quarterback on the field. He was our Mike linebacker. But the guys up front, I mean, the you know, having Tommy Jackson hold it down in the middle, Josh Thompson, like Jay Ratliff was there. Quentin Groves was coming off the edge. He was coming off the edge fast, and he was wreaking havoc. I became a believer by really, as far as the defense goes, after the LSU game, we knew we had something special on defense.
You look at that team, and that team was so well-balanced. As you mentioned, there had been some sputters offensively the year before. Al Borges comes in as the offensive coordinator, and things clicked for Jason. Ronnie and Caddy are healthy.
Yeah.
You've got Devin and Ben Obamanu at the receiver spots. I mean, you had weapons offensively. But that team was so well balanced because that defense was really, really good. And you had an offense that was clicking at this point. As you guys get into that season, you win against Tennessee, you come home, you beat Tech, Louisiana Tech, you beat Arkansas and Kentucky at home. You clinch the SEC West October 30th. Before Halloween, you guys go to Ole Miss and win that game. 35-14. I was doing the locker room show at this point. And it's the first time I heard it. Jason says it's the first time y'all did it when you sang Hard Fighting Soldiers. I will never forget that moment of solidarity with a football team. I'm so glad that I was there to witness it. that day. It was that was just that team.
Right.
That 0-4 squad.
Right.
Was how unified it was, offensively, defensively, special teams, didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Scholarships, walk, it didn't matter.
Right.
With that ball club in 0-4.
You got to witness something that was really just an outward display of right. an inward heartbeat of a team. And that team, I think about Cadillac and Ronnie, they didn't care. Like, Ronnie didn't care if he only touched the ball 11 times in a game. Cadillac didn't care if he got 15 less carries because Ronnie was hot. They didn't care. And when the leaders of your locker room are, one, willing to work the way that our leaders were willing to work, and number two, when they're that unselfish, like, how can you not, as a young guy and as a team, buy into that culture of, hey, it's not about me, it's about the man next to me. And that's really what that whole hard-fighting soldier, I'm going into battle and I'm with my brothers, mm-hmm. and we're together. And it's not really about any one player, it's about the team. Jason's the most humble, to a fault, humble superstar quarterback I've ever played with. And he's fun to cut up with and joke, but he's such a humble person. And for him to be leading our team with those other guys, we were so blessed.
Who were the defensive leaders? Who did you, as you're a sophomore, listen, by the time you're done, you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But as a sophomore, who are you looking to for leadership on that defensive squad?
I would say junior in the secondary, Travis and Brett Edens. Those three guys, to me, are three that stood out as guys that when you show up, you're not worried about yachts holding you accountable. You're worried about these upperclassmen, these men that have put in a few years here. They're the ones that set the standard, and it's up to you to keep up.
Was that off the field as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You get to the Georgia game November 13th, and if there was a game that was going to propel Auburn into that possible number one or two spot in the polls, I remember at that point that was – the polls was the be-all, end-all.
Right.
The AP poll and the coaches poll, those determined who would play for a national championship at that point. And if Auburn was going to make that jump, it was going to have to be the Georgia game at home. A couple things I remember about that game. I was living on the south side of Auburn at that time, at most 8 minutes away from campus.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 35 minutes to get to campus, and it was probably 5 hours before the game started, just trying to get to campus
right.
that day. There was a buzz. Game day was in town.
Mm-hmm.
The talk was, if Auburn plays well today against Georgia, here's Auburn's shot at that point. You guys play well that day. You win 24-6, you dominate the game even more than the final score indicates. Did you walk away from that game thinking, hey, we got a shot now. We've got a shot now to play for the national championship?
We did. We absolutely felt like we had put together a collective four quarters of work in front of a national audience on, you know, where game day was there. We beat the number two team in the country. I believe we were number, four or five?
They were as high as five.
Okay.
Yeah. Top 10.
Okay. And that's right. We were trying to jump Oklahoma because USC was the defending champ, I believe.
And undefeated.
And undefeated. We were trying to jump Oklahoma. We felt like, hey, we just beat a top five team handedly. We were hopeful. I can't tell you how many times I was pulling against the Sooners or pulling against USC that year, especially USC being on the West Coast. We would finish a game up a lot of times and go to somebody's apartment or house and just pull on whoever's playing USC or whoever's playing Oklahoma.
Win that game, you go to Alabama, you win 21-13. However, by the time you get Tennessee again in the SEC championship game, USC is going to have to lose to UCLA that night for you guys to go to Miami and play for the national championship. It's Tennessee again, and it's a closer game this time. 38-28 is the final score. But Auburn's trying to win its first SEC championship since the 80s at this point. 93 team went undefeated. They were on probation. They were not given the opportunity to claim an SEC championship. Going into that game, knowing the chances of playing for a national championship are not good.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's a chance to play for an SEC championship. Talk about those two emotions or those two thoughts as you went into that ball game.
There was a lot on the line, just bringing the first SEC championship, the opportunity in a long time here, playing a team that we had beaten handily. We'd embarrassed them in their own stadium a few weeks prior. The score is 0-0 to start the game, and it's a brand new football game. And they did. They came to play that day and put up a much better effort. It was a lot closer game. Yeah. I think, at least for me personally, I had so much on my plate. Just looking at the weapons, they had two really good running backs. They had weapons on the outside. You know, it took all of my focus just to focus on the task at hand. And hopefully, at the end of the day, when the dust settled, we would have a shot to play for the national championship. That was definitely a hope and a dream.
Do you remember what your emotion was like when that game ended and you guys are SEC champs?
I do. You know, football is a team sport, but it's built by a collective group of individual efforts. And as a teammate to 10 other guys on the field on defense at one time, you know, I felt like I'd let a lot of my teammates down because I had one of my poor performances.
Really?
And while I was excited, I also was down. And I think as a competitor playing in a team sport, that's why I love football so much. It teaches you that, hey, even if you're not successful, the team is more important than I am. So I had to learn and continue to learn even long after that. It's not all about me. In this particular moment, it was time to celebrate. Even though I was mad. I was mad, Andy, because I had several missed tackles and cost our team some yards and probably ultimately cost us some points. But the locker room was incredible after the win. We were very joyful. Those guys, I love them. I was just reading the list of them a minute ago as we were going over just some of the guys I play with, some guys I haven't talked to since. Very blessed.
It's another month before you guys get Virginia Tech in the Sugar Bowl. And by this point, you know that the national championship is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Did that enter your mind at all as you got ready for the Sugar Bowl? Because, listen, you grew up in Opelika. You knew how important the Sugar Bowl was
mm-hmm.
traditionally to the Southeastern Conference. And yet that ultimate chance of winning a national championship is gone
yeah.
by this point. So now it's let's finish the year. Let's be undefeated. Let's finish with a win. What was the prep like for the Hokies at that point?
It was exactly what you just said. Let's finish what we started. I mean, these guys, I just think about the time, the off season, the meetings, the treatments, the coming early, staying late. The guys that had come before us that had put in the same amount of work and that did not get to experience the opportunity at an SEC championship. Guys like Carlos Dansby and Mark Brown, mm-hmm. Reggie Torbore. Those guys worked just as hard as we did. As a matter of fact, they laid foundational blocks for this team that is now enjoying the success of men that had come before us. And they didn't have that opportunity. There was everything to play for. We went into that game ready and went into that game with a heart of gratitude, I believe, for the opportunity to play one more game together. It was our last game together collectively. Every time that bowl game, that group of men will never play another football game together. Yeah, we wanted a shot, but you know what? Life's not always fair, and things have changed a lot, I think, in due part to an undefeated SEC team getting left out. But you take life as it's dealt to you, and you trust that, hey, whatever the Lord sends our way, we're going to make the most of it, and in that particular season, we did.
How many of those guys do you keep up with, that you text with, or...
Well, I've got multiple text threads of guys from my college days, guys from my NFL days.
Right.
It was so special. The 20-year reunion for our signing class was 2 years ago. And our the game that we happened to be coming together on was the A&M game. So when Cadillac led the boys out of the tunnel as head coach, like, we had a bunch of guys coming back anyway. And that just gave our, not just our class, but just the team in general, everyone that was on the team in and around that era, that was such a blessing. A lot of those guys hadn't seen or heard from in years. But when you do see them, the, you know, community is built with common memory. And so you may not have seen a guy for 20 years, but when you've got the common memories that we have, that we get to share, when you do bump into one another, you don't miss a beat.
I look forward to year number two of you on the sideline with the Auburn Sports Network.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Thank you, bud.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate your time. More Eagle.
More Eagle.
For Will Herring and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health. I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. More Eagle.